the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, broadcasting from the Pods Moving and Storage Studio. It's the Ramsey Show, where America hangs out to have a conversation about your life and your money. I'm George Campbell, joined this hour by Rachel Cruz. We are your co-hosts this hour, also co-hosts of another Ramsey Network show called Smart Money Happy Hour, and we are happy to take your calls this hour at 888-825-5225. So, Rachel, we get sent a lot of videos on Instagram. Yep. People always want to know our thoughts on things, our hot takes.
Yep.
And usually it's things that I'm like, oh gosh, I have to, you know, it's just like terrible financial advice. But sometimes there's videos that make me smile and I go,
get a little glimmer of hope.
I agree with that.
For humanity.
And this one is from a celeb.
Ooh.
A celeb didn't send me the video. The video is of a celebrity. And I know you're basically BFFs with Matthew McConaughey.
Matthew. I did have him on my show.
He was on your show. You're a big fan of his book, Green Lights. And this clip has popped up and it has to do with money. And so I thought I'd play it for you and get your reaction to it and talk about it.
I can't wait.
You ready?
Yes.
Let's see what he has to say.
People always say like money doesn't make you happy, but it makes me very happy. I mean, I like to have money.
I don't think it makes you happy. Look, it takes money's good in that if you have some, it can take away a lot of stress that a lot of people have that don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm happy to say that I'm my rent's going to be paid. My kids are going to eat. Not everyone can say that. After that, you know, you look at certain things you need. You look at certain things that are luxuries. I wouldn't say it buys you happiness, though. It can buy you access to things you may want. And then, like anybody, you also keep an eye on those things you want because more options don't always make you happier.
Mm. That's good.
Dang, Matthew.
The way he says everything is just so cool.
Oh, it's just, I could listen to his voice all day long.
He could have just said the ABCs, and I would have been like, that was brilliant.
I think
well
that's
done.
So smart.
But the content was rich.
It's a great point. It's a great point because there's one side of the coin that everyone's like, money doesn't make you happy. It's not important. And as Zig Ziglar, which this next generation has no clue who Zig Ziglar is.
Zig Ziglar, motivational speaker,
in
idol.
The 80s. But his quote, which I think is just so funny, is like, money's not everything, but it's right up there with oxygen. Mm. So like there is a level where like, yeah, it doesn't necessarily bring you joy, but it brings you a level of peace because you don't have stress about where your next meal is coming from. Are you going to have shelter? Even to the point that if, you know, a family member gets sick and you have money in the bank to go buy a plane ticket to go see them, like, you know, all of those things, it gives you the ability to live your life. So yeah, on one side, people are like, no, it doesn't make you happy. And I'm like, well, no, but it does, like he said, give you access. But on the other end, if that's the only thing you live for is the number in your checking account, you are going to live a pretty empty life.
Yes, I think chasing happiness through stuff is never going to end well because we know that money and happiness, there's not always a correlation. There's folks in third world countries who have way more joy than most Americans do.
That's right.
And they don't have a lot of stuff, but they still have joy, which is the end result, I would hope, of happiness, which is longer lasting. It's not this fleeting thing of like, we went on a vacation and it made us happy, and then we came back home and we were still miserable.
Right.
Because
right.
You go with you. And when you have debt in your life, you know, studies have shown you're not sleeping as well. It has a physical weight on your body. And so I think that's kind of what's holding people back is if you're broke and in debt, it's going to be harder to be happy.
Yep.
That's the correlation.
Yes. There's going to be more stress, more anxiety naturally versus, yes, if you're debt-free and have an emergency fund, you have money in the bank. That money is not correlating to, oh, I have that dollar amount, so I'm automatically have a better life. It's I have the ability to use it as a tool to better my life if or when I need it.
Yes. And our research team, we've done this State of Personal Finance study now for almost 2 years. And this is over 1,000 people, so it's statistically significant. We use a third party to do this. And here's some things that we found. Over 100 million Americans now say they're struggling or in crisis with their finances. Mm-hmm. So that's about 1 out of 3 people.
Yep.
50% of Americans say finances have had a negative impact on their fiancés. That's interesting.
And because of stress brought on by money, 41% of Americans report crying.
Oh my goodness!
At least once in the last 3 months. That's a lot of stress.
That's literally a sad stat. Mm-hmm. That breaks my heart to hear that. And lastly, 41% have experienced a panic attack because of money at some point in their life.
Yep. So it has an effect on you. And that's what's crazy is, again, it's not just the financial effect. It's everything else. It's the emotional, the mental, the spiritual. I mean, there's so much that money affects in our lives. So it's not just numbers. And that's the one thing about math or about money that we talk about a lot on the show. It's not just about math. So you can argue interest rates and getting a loan and using, you know, instead of paying it off, use that money to invest in the market. You'll make a better return. It's smarter to do. I mean, you can do math all day long, but that does not correlate to your mental, your spiritual, your physical health. I mean, all of that. And that money plays a role in all of that.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of people that watch these videos, Rachel, they always come from like celebrities who have a ton of money.
Yeah,
and they're always
right.
Like, hey, guys, I just want to let you know money doesn't buy you happiness. And they're like, easy for you to say, dude.
I know. Totally.
Like,
totally.
I would like to experience that.
Yes.
I want to have a lot of money so I can say that money doesn't matter.
Right.
And so
right.
I understand where they're coming from. There's this angst about it of like, you don't get to tell me that kind of thing.
Hmm.
But there's so much truth in what Matthew McConaughey was saying. And what he really was pointing to is what we've been teaching for 30 years, which is financial peace.
Yep.
It's contentment with what you have. And that is what it's all about. And we teach, yes, build wealth and give, and that's great. But the end goal is not just that money's going to make you happy, so you should go get you some.
Yep.
The goal is get out of debt, have money in the bank so that you have peace and margin in your life to focus on what really matters.
That's right. That's
which
right.
Which is your health, your career, your family. And yes, some of the stuff that money can buy. We want you to have nice stuff. Don't misunderstand. It's great to do that
yep.
when you do it the right way.
That's
right. Intentionality.
Yeah. And money is just a tool. It's a tool to create a life that you love. Right. And so that's part of what it's for. And it's not the end all be all in life, but you can use it to have access, like what he's saying, to have options, all of it. So, man, Matthew, just bringing the
thunder, Matthew.
Well done.
We love it.
Such a deep thinker.
He is. I respect that about him. Is that what you call him? Is that what he...
Matthew McConaughey.
When he was on your show, was he like, Rachel, you can call me MM.
Call me Eminem.
Call me Maddie. He wasn't on my show, Rachel. We should get him on Smart Money Happy Hour to talk about this.
Oh, that would be great.
Matthew McConaughey, if you're listening, I assume that you're a big fan. I know we were in your top Spotify podcast. Get in touch with our team. We'd love to have you on.
Oh.
But it's true, Rachel. Money magnifies. We've said that before. It just makes you more of what you are.
Yep.
So if you're a jerk and you're a miserable person, well, man, you're going to be a rich jerk. And if you're generous while you don't have much, you're only going to become wildly generous. We call those people philanthropists. And so that encourages me.
Yes.
And it can be different for you. If you're listening and you're feeling that stress, you're one of those people who has cried, who's had the panic attack, who's felt that lump in your throat, the knot in your stomach, you can have what we call financial peace. But it starts with deciding that enough is enough. We're going to make some changes in our life, do whatever it takes, draw the line in the sand to change our family tree and do something different. And so Financial Peace University, the namesake, is one of the best ways to do that. So be sure to check that out. We'll be back with more of The Ramsey Show. This is The Ramsey Show. I'm George Camel, host of The Fine Print, Entree Leadership, and co-host of Smart Money Happy Hour, joined by best-selling author Rachel Cruz. And we are here for you, America, to help you with whatever you're dealing with when it comes to money and life. The number to call is 888-825-5225. Valerie is up next in San Francisco. Valerie, welcome to The Ramsey Show.
Hi, George. Hi, Rachel. I'm so excited to finally be talking to you guys.
We've been waiting for you, Valerie. Thank you for calling in. It's about time. What's going on?
Okay, I just have a quick question. So I recently transitioned from being a part-time employee to finally being able to be full-time. I just don't know how to readjust my budget because that did come with extra expenses.
Extra expenses?
Yes.
Okay, so you got a raise going from part-time to full-time.
Like what? Mm-hmm. What's your extra expenses?
So now I'm, because I work all over the Bay Area, I'm using more on gas.
Okay.
And then sometimes they do put us in a hotel, and some of the hotels are, they require like deposits, which I've been prepared so far, but I just want to make sure I have enough set aside just sure. for that, because they do hold on to my money.
Yep. Yep. Okay. That's cool. Great. So yeah, I mean, I would just, but obviously it's going to come with more income, right? Yes, which is a great thing.
What are you making?
So I now have the potential to make anywhere from $50,000 to $68,000, which okay. I'm on track to do.
All right. And do you have any debt?
Yes, I do.
What are we talking?
So total, I have about $29,000 left. I have been working your baby steps. I'm still working on number two. And then I don't have a mortgage, so it's roughly $11,000 on my car. And then the rest would be, so $7,000 on the personal loan, and then the rest on credit cards.
Okay. So that's your next goal. Obviously, you're in the middle of that. And your question is about kind of managing this extra money, or managing the new expenses?
Just your new budget coming up?
Yes, my new budget, especially for next year. So I'm still doing the minimum payments on all the cards and everything, and then I am putting everything towards my first one. But I have found myself having to use a credit card just for things that I didn't see coming, like that one time that I didn't know that they were going to ask for a deposit down. I immediately paid that part off, but I want to make sure I have the money set aside so that I don't have to use my credit card.
So this sounds like it could be a buffer issue in your checking account as well. How much money do you have in there?
At the moment, about $150.
Okay. I would increase that. You might need to, you know, slow down your debt payoff by just an inch, but have a little bit more, maybe a $500 cushion in the checking account, and you make sure it never goes below $500. That's kind of your new zero.
Okay.
That'll probably help with these deposit issues you're experiencing, so that you're not turning to the credit card, which, by the way, I would cut that thing up so that you can't even use it if you wanted to, because right now it's a rubber crutch.
Yes. I figured you'd tell me that.
Yeah, because Valerie, we want you to be your emergency fund. You know, you're going to have your $1,000 for baby mm-hmm. step one. You'll have some cushion in your checking account for when these kind of expenses come up. And then you're just going to be, yeah, really diligent about the budget. And I think just upping your gas, you're going to be able to maybe estimate and say, okay, I'm going to have to fill up this many more tanks of gas. Here's roughly what it's going to be. And maybe you have a line item in your budget that every month you kind of just budget for those just in case things. You can call that miscellaneous, you can whatever it is. But if you know that there are expenses coming up, put those in the budget. And so you're able to kind of work around your life more. It's more of that planning out. So if there is a deposit that you need, not only will you have the money in your checking account, but even you're planning for it in your budget.
What are you currently using to make your budget, Valerie?
I am using the Every Dollar app. It's just, I wasn't sure where to put the deposit fees into, like what area.
Yeah, it is temporary, so you can make the line item for hotel deposits, and if you know, hey, roughly I go to two hotels, it's about $200 a time, well, that money's coming back, but for now it helps you track it. And I'm going to gift you 1 year of our premium version of Every Dollar so that it connects to your bank account, which will make this even easier. How does that sound?
That would be amazing.
Awesome. We're happy to do that. I love that you are like so focused on this baby step two. You're going to do whatever it takes. And I think this little buffer issue will sort itself out, and you'll be back on track. We are rooting for you.
Great job, Valerie.
Yeah, thanks for the question. Hang on the line. Austin will pick up, and we'll gift you 1 year of Every Dollar premium. All right. Our question of the day comes from Blinds.com. Their 100% satisfaction guarantee means even if you mismeasure or you pick the wrong color, they will remake your blinds for free. You get free samples, free shipping, and with the new promos they run every month, you'll save even more. Be sure to use the promo code Ramsey to get the best deal.
And today's question comes from Maxine in Texas. I only recently found you all, and on vacation last week, I bought The Total Money Makeover and read it in one night, and finally excited that I can make a better future for myself. Thank you. My question is, when will it be appropriate for me to buy a dog? My last dog had numerous surgeries and was quite expensive, and I've learned since the last experience weighs that might reduce the expenses, but there is no guarantee.
Ooh.
We're dog people,
George.
We
are dog people. I've got two. You've got one currently?
One, yes.
Okay. But you've had dogs your whole life.
Yeah. Yeah,
Dave
we love
and Sharon
dogs.
Are dog people.
Yeah.
And what's fun, Rachel, we just did an episode on the Rachel Cruze Show, you and I, about pets and how much...
about dogs.
Here's what's called, how much having a pet is actually costing you. And we kind of broke down the math and we had some hot takes of kind of like, hey, if you're really broke, it may not be the best time to get a pet because your pet deserves a good life. You know, it doesn't have to be a life of luxury, but you got to be able to afford the vet visits and the food and the right kind of care. And so I don't tell people, hey, wait till you're completely out of debt if you're going to get a pet.
Right, right.
That's not the spirit of this.
Yeah. And you want to be able to say, okay, reasonably, what breed? Because even breeds are have a different cost. You know that with
I
your
have,
Frenchies.
What are they called? Designer dogs?
Yeah. George has two
and
designer
people are
dogs.
Very, Rachel, the adopt, don't shop people have come at me.
Well, because I was going to say, there are a lot of dogs that you can adopt for free.
There are, but
they got mad at you.
Yeah, like French bulldogs, healthily bred, are really, you can't just find those at shelters.
Sure.
As you know, it's like trying to find a Gucci purse at a Goodwill. Like, can you find it? Maybe, but it's rare. And so we decided we had the money, we budgeted for it, and we wanted this specific dog.
That's
so,
right.
Anyways, when will it be appropriate for me to buy a dog? When you can afford it. And I don't know your financial situation. All we know is that you're on vacation and you got the total money makeover.
I know. Well, and I think, you know, mapping out when it's a purchase like this, just map out roughly, okay, you know, how much food is this dog going to eat? Do some research on the breed you're looking at, or if it's a, you know, a dog from the shelter. You can do rough math to say, okay, it's going to cost probably this much in food a month. How often do they need their shots and their vaccines? Like, what are we going to need pet sitters if we go out of town? You know, you can kind of run some scenarios and get an estimate on what it costs per month. But yeah, I mean, there are, and then there
it becomes a budget line item.
Ours so is. Ours has
You got to make sure you have that. And also, on the emergency fund side, I don't want you using your personal human emergency fund and draining it for the dog. And so I like having a separate little pile of money for the dog, like a little sinking fund for the animals. And so that can be a great way to separate this out and go, I'm going to put $50 a month into the sinking fund for the animal.
Are you a pet insurance person?
We talked about that on the show.
That's right.
And I've crunched the numbers. We had it for a season, like a wellness plan type thing. But as I found, the insurance companies almost always win, and rarely is it going to be worth it. And so you're better off just taking that amount you were paying every month and putting it into that
into
emergency
a sinking fund. Yep.
And so it's really hard to like beat the system when it comes to these pet insurance companies. So largely, it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
And some of them, there's like a wellness plan type thing. Some of those may be okay, but don't fall for the schemes.
Schemes,
if you will.
The scams.
But yeah, I mean, we love dogs and you can do it very cheaply and it can be very expensive. So there's a large spectrum, but the key know what you're getting into, save for it, budget for it, do it all in cash, and make sure that you're prepared for an emergency. Great question. Thank you so much for it, Maxine. Send us a picture of that sweet pup once you get him. More of your calls coming up. 888-825-5225 is the number to call. This is The Ramsey Show. Welcome back to The Ramsey Show. Folks, if you've gone through FPU, Financial Peace University, the chances are it's because someone in your life lit the fire under your butt. Mom and dad gave it to you as a gift, your pastor offered it at your church, or that one friend wouldn't stop talking about it.
I'm sorry, is this what that said?
That's literally what it says.
Light a fire under your butt.
Yeah, that's how it works. It's a lot to get someone to change their money life.
Is that what I just heard? Okay, keep going.
I can't make this stuff up. So you finally took the class after maybe some nodding, some prodding. You started working these baby steps, and now everything is different. You've changed your entire future. And so now you can do the same for someone else. You can give someone you care about Financial Peace University and share that same hope you've discovered with money. And with Christmas coming, this is the perfect time to do it. And when you give FPU as a gift, they're going to get more than just a course. They'll get the premium version of every dollar so they can start living on a budget. They'll join in on group calls with our team of financial coaches and so much more. So this Christmas, give the people you care about a gift that actually matters. And that's hope. That is freedom. So if you want to buy FPU as a gift, go to RamseySolutions.com/giveFPU. That's RamseySolutions.com/GIVEFPU.
It is a great gift. Yes. It's like,
it feels weird because like I'm gonna gift them like a thing that's like get better with money.
Yeah, no, but it's like here's the thing that helps in general, regardless of whether you feel like you're great with money or not. So yeah.
And you can also always pair it with another little gift too to make it less of a focus if that's a worry for you, a concern. But it really is, it's a great gift, and it is the gift that keeps on giving, because if they become debt free because of that, that gift paid dividends.
It's awesome.
So go check that out. All right, back to the phones we go. Nate joins us up next in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Nate, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are we doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. Love all you guys. Love listening to you guys.
Oh, we appreciate that. How can we help today?
The question is, I heard you guys talking earlier about if you're in debt, not to be investing in like your match for your company, it sounded like, or your 401k.
Correct.
For the company. And I currently am. And I'm in debt, obviously. So I was wondering, should I stop investing? And then kind of like a little second question, and then should I take what I have in my 401k and help speedball and take it out to knock down my debt, or just keep plugging away and snowballing it the way I'm doing it now?
The latter. For sure, do not pull any money out of your 401k, because it comes with a whole bunch of penalties and fees.
Correct.
And you're unplugging all of the growth. So if you've been investing, it's okay. Just pause that and begin to use that extra cash flow that you now have to attack that debt aggressively.
Okay.
Yeah, because the reason is, Nate, the why behind that is we've just found when you can focus on one thing with your money, you make progress so much faster. And then the benefit of being out of debt that much faster is that you don't have payments. So then you're able to say, okay, I can save up actual cash and have an emergency fund, which is baby step three. And then once all of that's taken care of, it's like you have this really solid financial foundation of no payments, an emergency fund, and then you can go press play and invest 15% of your income into retirement. So into that 401k, Roth IRA, and using those retirement vehicles to build that wealth.
And I love the fire it kind of lights under you when you're going, I'm missing out on the match. I really want to get back to that match, so I'm going to get out of debt even faster. The problem is a lot of people get comfortable because they're doing seven things at once and they're like, I'm okay. And so I actually love the fact that we tell people to pause all investing, because it is for folks that have a hard time with it, it's because they want to see that money grow. But you kind of have a house built on sand when you got a pile of debt, not a lot of money in the bank, you owe people money. It's just a scary place to be.
Yeah, so, how much debt do you have, Nate? I'm just curious.
Probably around $35,000.
Okay.
I got.
How much do you make a year?
Anywhere from $80,000 to $100,000.
Okay. So yeah, you can knock this debt out quickly.
And I got about $11,000 in an emergency fund in my savings.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I would drain that down, throw some of that money. How's the 35 divided, the debt? Is it cars?
I got about $8,500 in a student loan, and then the rest, I know you guys are yelling at me. I took HELOC out to consolidate some other debt, and I got about $25,000 on that.
On that, okay. I mean, I'd pay off your student loan today, Nate. I mean, I would go ahead and just get
what's the payment on
knock that?
That
out.
The payment a month, I actually just upped it because I paid off another thing, so I'm paying about $180 a month on it right now.
Okay.
So yeah, it's not going to free up like a ton, but yeah, I would go ahead and knock that out so it's freed up. Then you got that extra, like, yeah, $180 a month plus other stuff to throw at the HELOC at the 25, and you could get, I mean, yeah, you could be out
in the next year
really quick, Nate, and then save up some cash for an emergency fund, then press play on that investing. And how old are you?
36.
Yeah. Yeah, Nate, I mean, that's
exactly
what I would do. I mean, and it's awesome,
and I guess
that you're,
I got my house, sorry, and I guess I forgot the house debt. I got that down to $147,000, and I got it on a 15-year note, and I've got about 13 years left.
That's great. Well, what we found is people doing the baby steps, that once they've paid off their consumer debts, they get their emergency fund, they invest in retirement, they actually are paying off their house on an average in 7 years.
It's amazing.
So you're going to just have so much income freed up. And then it kind of gets addicting where you're like, oh my gosh, what if I didn't have a mortgage, and going after that. So yeah, I'm excited for you. These numbers look really promising.
That's kind of how I am now. The addiction's getting to me because I've just been paying off a couple other smaller ones.
And yeah.
It's really getting to me.
I love it. I love it. Well, congrats, Nate. Yeah, thanks for calling.
Yeah, Rachel, this is a big thing people struggle with because they do the math on paper and they're like, well, Rachel, wouldn't it make more sense to get the free money and the match and watch this money grow? But we found that personal finance is 80% behavior. It's only 20% head knowledge. And so math on paper only goes so far to actually change the way we behave when it comes to money, which is a much bigger factor than just math alone.
That's right. Changing your habits. And again, for some people, it's uncomfortable to say, hey, we're going to pause investing to pay off that debt. But even that being uncomfortable is good for you. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if you keep doing the same thing you've been doing,
comfortable is how we got here.
You're going to keep getting the same result. And so there's something about just shaking up the whole thing, changing your habits completely, changing the way you've been viewing your money. You're going to get a completely different result, which is our goal.
Good stuff. All right. Trista joins us up next in Minneapolis. Trista, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. How can we help today?
I am through baby step three. I just started my kids' education savings account, and we're turning on our 401 again.
Awesome.
But lately, to the last year, I've been making double mortgage payments because we're in a house right now, but it's not. We're looking to move in the next 2 years. So my question basically is, should I keep making double payments and throw more equity into the home, or should I be putting that into this like a sinking fund for a deposit on another house?
I would continue making those double payments. I mean, it's a forced savings plan, and here's what that means. The money you would put elsewhere might get used elsewhere because then you're like, well, we could upgrade this, and, you know, we could go on that vacation. Paying it into the mortgage is a great idea because when you go to sell that house, it's sitting there inside of the equity, and you're paying less towards interest every month on that mortgage. So there's all the reasons I have done that and continue to advise people to do it.
That's kind of what I was thinking about. I just wanted to make sure before I change anything.
Yeah, you're doing great. And congrats.
That's awesome. How much longer till you pay off the house?
I think it's like 2032.
So 10 years from now.
But you're looking to move before then.
Right.
Yeah.
So it might change some things.
Yeah, that's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well,
I'm
done.
I'm finishing college and we're going to be getting more income in the next couple of years. So we just want to move into a bigger home for our family.
Way to go. How old are you two?
32 and 37.
That is awesome.
Great job.
I love this. Like, just young people getting a hold of this stuff, going like, hey, what if we didn't have a mortgage forever? How about that?
Baby steps 4 through 6 right there. She's doing it. It's awesome.
And I've seen a trend with our debt-free screamers. We're getting young people who aren't just paying off consumer debt, but
they're paying off
their house in their 20s and 30s.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Because their parents taught them. They went through Financial Peace University.
Yeah.
They got them on board, and they're like, oh, I didn't know that I didn't have to live with a payment forever. And so those are very inspiring because there could be a whole new generation, Rachel, of people in their 20s and 30s with no debt, not even a mortgage payment.
It's amazing.
Who are just building wealth and giving outrageously. That's inspiring.
It's a beautiful world you just
changed,
painted, George.
Change the country. I'm here for it. I want to live in that world, and you guys are a part of it by following this plan, by doing the hard work, and we are so, so proud of you. Keep it up. This is The Ramsey Show. Our scripture of the day comes from Proverbs 12:16. A fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. Leslie Knope from Parks and Rec said, one person's annoying is another's inspiring and heroic. That's good. And that Proverbs one, it was that hit me personally, Rachel. That's basically saying, like, hey, maybe don't respond to the YouTube comments. That's what Proverbs was saying.
George will stir the pot.
That is me. We were talking about
internet.
It earlier.
I know.
It's widely known.
And the team's like, be yourself on social media, you know. And George was like, well, if I am myself,
I'm going to jump into the comments and stir up a ruckus. I got to stand up to the bullies, Rachel. As someone who was like low-key bullied when I was younger,
like,
I'm not taking
what?
It as an adult.
I'm going to raise my fist and get back at them.
I'm intellectually stronger than they are. Maybe not physically, but that's social media.
On a
brighter note, if we look into the lobby of Ramsey Solutions, we are getting ready for an exciting moment because Santa is coming to the Ramsey HQ, and the Ramsey team members are bringing their kids to meet Santa.
Not just Santa.
Is Mrs. Claus here too?
There are two Christmas thrones right now on the debt-free stage.
Wow.
So I'm assuming that there's going to be both. And we have 1,100 people that work here, and majority of them have kids.
Yes.
So there's about to be a lot of kids in the lobby of Ramsey Solutions.
You get to meet Santa. You get a free photo.
Saint Nick.
How cool is that? I might get a photo with Santa before I leave today. just say I met the guy. I know him.
Jolly old Saint Nick.
I hope he doesn't smell like beef and cheese. That's the goal.
You're not Santa.
If you've seen Elf, you know what we're talking about. Otherwise, you're very confused.
Sit on a throne of lies.
How fun. It's a tradition
here.
It's a tradition here at Ramsey, and we love it. We love it. There's going to be a lot of Christmas cheer in our lobby today. All right, let's go back to the phones. Sam joins us in Houston, Texas. Sam, welcome to the show. How are you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. How about yourselves?
We are doing swimmingly. How can we help today?
So, I just finally became debt-free.
Yay!
Paid off not only my student loans, but my credit cards.
That's awesome.
So now I'm just trying to figure out, what do I do? Like,
just retire, man.
Paying off my debt.
Sam,
and I'm just like, what do I do? Like, it's...
How much did you pay off?
I paid off $9,000 of student loans, then $9,000 of credit cards.
Good for you.
Awesome.
So great. All right. Well, tactically, what do? You move on to baby step three. Have you been saving for an emergency fund?
I already have that taken care of.
Oh.
This paycheck finishes my 3 to 6 months of savings.
Awesome.
Great job, Sam. We're clapping for you.
So then we're going to be at baby step four, investing 15% of our income into retirement.
Okay.
And beyond that, I'm guessing you don't have kids?
No, I don't have kids.
Okay. How old are you?
I'm 26.
Awesome. And you're single, married?
Single for right now.
Okay. Well, the good news is you have a lot of life ahead of you, and life costs a lot of money, including engagement rings and weddings and houses. Are you currently a homeowner, or are you renting?
Currently, I actually live with my parents, and I also don't have a car, so I'm just trying to figure out, like, what should I do first?
Oh, yeah, there's some goals.
Should I save up for a car?
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm. The car market A1
is getting, it's like,
yeah, getting a vehicle. Have you looked at kind of what kind of car you'd want and how much you can afford?
I've been looking at cars. They're just really expensive. I mean, realistically, before this car craziness, I just wanted a Honda Accord.
Like, yes.
That's all I wanted. But people
Sam is my kind of guy.
50 grand.
A Honda man.
How much do you make a year, Sam?
I make 60 a year.
60, okay. Well, listen, cars, yeah, I mean, brand new ones are going to cost
expensive.
You. Yeah, but you can go get a used car.
Could you get a $15,000 Honda Accord?
Yeah, I mean, I just got to look for it because the ones they're charging $15,000 are, I've seen 2010s and they have like 180,000 miles. So I'm like, I know Hondas are great, but I don't know how much life out of 200,000 they have.
Well, I would do a dollar amount, Sam, and say, hey, here's, you know, whatever you want to save, 15,000, 17,000, whatever it is, and then look to see what cars are in that range, because there's still great cars. Honda mm-hmm. Civics obviously are wonderful, but there's other great cars besides that. Toyota Camrys, you know, you could go along mm-hmm. the list if you just want a reliable car. And you can find those, Sam, that aren't going
to
cost you a ton.
I mean,
that are
you can
not
go to
beaters.
Like an autotrader.com and sort and buy your zip code and filter it by price.
Yeah.
And you can even negotiate mm-hmm. with folks on Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist, but make sure to do a pre-purchase inspection when it comes to a used car to do your due diligence, because you're buying these cars as is, which means as soon as you drive that thing off the lot, if anything goes wrong, there's no going back.
Right.
So, Sam, I think you're, so to answer your question why you called, I would be investing 15% of my income into retirement. I would be taking any extra cash to save up for this car. And then once you have your car, then my next goal is to move out of your parents' house. And whether that's renting somewhere for a little bit versus saving up a down payment. But
I would rent while saving up.
Yeah. I would probably rent while saving up.
Maybe
because
for a
you're
few
26
years.
And you're making great money. You've done incredible with your money this far. And like we said to a caller earlier on the show, there's just something, Sam, about living on your own. Again, living with your parents for a time is not terrible. You know, it's not like we're completely against that. But there is a level of dignity for you. That there's just something about taking care of yourself, that you're in charge of paying the bills. You look at money even a little differently, even with that. You know, the food situation, you look in the refrigerator, you're like, oh, it's up to me to get the eggs. I need bread. It there's just this percentage of that extra dignity in adulthood that you experience, which I think is really healthy.
1,000%.
And who knows even where the motivation can be out of that. Within your job, and it changes the way maybe even you work, and maybe you get a raise. I don't know. There's a lot of ripple effects out of that. So that would be, after you get the car, my next goal would be to move out, rent for a little bit, and start saving up for a down payment on a home if that's where you want to go.
Yeah, that's huge. And every single person listening right now, if you're going, okay, what's next for me? What are my goals? A great way to filter it is through our 7 baby steps, where we say, get a $1,000 emergency fund, get out of consumer debt, get the emergency fund fully funded 3 to 6 months, start investing 15%, save for kids' college, pay off the house early, build wealth and give. That's kind of the open-ended piece of the puzzle.
Right.
But man, that's a journey right there.
It is.
And
it
so
is.
Part of it is just making sure you have those goals. And as we head into a new year, it's that time where we all go, oh, there's those resolutions from last year that I never accomplished. But I want to encourage you guys, at some point, someone said, you know what? This is going to be the year that I actually do it. I actually become debt free. I get that emergency fund. And Rachel and I and Dr. John Deloney, we created this goal planner to help folks with that, to walk alongside them with a lot of teaching, not just blank spaces, to help you stay focused on those goals with your money, your faith, your relationships, areas you definitely want to be focused in on. But we want to cheer you guys on this year. I want to see all of our callers accomplish their goals.
Yeah. And we have so many new listeners too, I think through the podcast and through YouTube. And just to encourage you guys that if you've not fully, like, you know, dove into this plan, number one, it's proven. We've proved it over 30 years. Millions of people have gone through this, and it's incredible the freedom that they've experienced. We want that for everyone. But we always say that first step, that baby step one, sometimes it's the hardest step to take, not because it's saving up that $1,000, but it's acknowledging, okay, I'm going to change the way I've been handling my money. And change is scary, George.
Oh, yeah.
When you're not used to something, there's the unknown. It can create a level of anxiety. And it's like, I don't know if I want to engage this because I, even if what I'm doing, I'm not really happy with the end result. At least I'm comfortable because I know, well, I can predict what's going on.
The devil,
so
you know.
To change, it is hard. And so I just want to encourage all of you guys that is like, you're even cautious about that first step. Just do it. Do the plan. For 6 months, we're in December right now. I would say, you know, do it through May of 2023. And if you absolutely hate it,
you can go back to whatever you were doing before.
That's right. But give it some time and really commit to it. And it's amazing what ends up happening because common sense and the truth will always prevail.
Whew. That'll preach. Yeah, you can't be Dave-ish. You got to fully commit to the Ramsey plan before you start yelling at us that it didn't work. Okay?
That's right.
There you go. Good hour, Rachel. Thank you so much to my awesome co-host, Rachel Cruz. All of you listening, all the folks in the booth, Austin and Will and James and Josh and Andrew and Zach. We're going to be back with you, America. Don't worry. We'll be back soon. But until next time, be sure to spend wisely, save intentionally, and give generously. Do you love a good Dave rant? Want to see the latest Ramsey Show videos going viral? Check out your favorite moments from The Ramsey Show on YouTube. Go watch and subscribe to The Ramsey Show channel on YouTube.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.